Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful, God, to be here, Lord. And we ask now that you would come, Father, and anoint us, Father, as we read your word. Dear God, to speak to us tonight, we pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We spoke out of chapter 11 last Thursday, but there was some things I felt pulled back to out of this chapter to use tonight to speak on. Let's start reading at verse 5, and then I'll tell you, we'll skip on down. Verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Now let's go on down to verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For if ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artius, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Amen. You may be seated. I was drawn back to this chapter for this last part here that Paul was speaking about his suffering, all that he has suffered for Christ. And if you read through the different letters of Paul and the writings and that, you'll find especially a lot that we've read actually in Corinthians of the many things in that Paul actually suffered. And you remember that when God was calling Paul and he had met Paul on the road and Paul was blinded by the great light and was taken into a home and he was laying there. He couldn't see. Scales were on his eyes. And God had told him that he was going to send someone by the name of Ananias to pray for him. And then the Bible tells us, and you find this in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that God, the Lord then appeared in a vision to Ananias and told Ananias to go and to Damascus and find this one named Saul of Tarsus. And that he said, he's been told that you are coming to pray for him. And, you know, of course, Ananias said, well, look, I've heard a lot of this man, and he's got authority to bind us and all the horrible things that he's been doing to your people. And then the Lord spoke and said, you know, don't fear him. And the Lord said, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel of me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so we then realize that here was Jesus actually speaking to Ananias, and he was telling him, look, this man that you're going to pray for, that he's going to be a messenger for me. But I'm going to show him how great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And so we know that Paul did suffer greatly, many things. You know, Paul said that, you know, he had been stoned, he had been whipped, he had been in prison, he had been shipwrecked, he had been in hunger, he had been in thirst, he had been in want, and this, you know. And you said, well, how did Paul deal with all that? Well, you find, if you remember, Paul said, I have learned that whatsoever state I find myself in, therein to be content. So that Paul, through all these sufferings, though Paul's actually, he's not complaining about these things he's suffering. But actually, Brother Branham actually called them his credentials. This was, and Paul said, I've been manifest before you. And Brother Branham said, this was the proof of Paul, that because he had suffered these things for the gospel's sake, for the sake of Christ. And so he had suffered for the cause of Christ. And, you know, Paul said, and Brother Ram said, Paul was made partaker of the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. And then he said, so much so that there was, you remember in the scriptures, and Paul writes about a slave that had ran away from his master. And then he had come in contact with Paul and that, and he'd give his life to Jesus Christ. And so Paul was sending him back to his master and that, but then Paul knew what it was like to, and he could sympathize with this man. And so Paul then instructs him and says, don't treat him like a slave anymore, you know. And he gives counsel and things. And Paul actually sends word to the master, if he owes you anything, I will pay it myself, you know. Because Brother Branham said, Paul had been so in fellowship with Christ in his suffering till he knew what it was to be an outcast. He knew what it was to fellowship in his suffering, so he knew how to sympathize with others. That's the reason Christ became human, that he might know the groans of sickness, that he might know the heartaches of disappointment, that he with us might have fellowship together, for he's been partaker of the life we have, of disappointments and heartaches and sickness, for he bore our sickness and our troubles in his own body. So you see, Paul, and then even some of that speaks of that we are to be made partakers in the suffering of Christ. And Paul, that's what Brother Ram is referring to here, that when he says that he was in the fellowship of suffering with Christ, and that actually God put Paul through these things so that some of the things God allowed, that Paul would be able to be more understanding to other people and things that they went through. And just like he said, Jesus, God himself came down in the man Jesus and suffered as we suffer so that he might know what it was like. You know, Jesus, remember when he told Peter and the other disciples, he taught them, there's coming, we're approaching a time when I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and that. And he said, and I must suffer great things. And remember, Peter told him, said, it kind of rebuked him over it. And that, but you know, Jesus said, this has got to happen. And then, you know, Jesus, of course, then he says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And he says, if anybody's going to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come follow me. And you know, so Christ even pointing to his disciples, saying, you know, look, if you're going to follow me, there's going to be things you're going to suffer. And we see that Paul suffered greatly. And then Paul spoke of in Hebrews chapter 11, we all know that, refer to it as God's Hall of Heroes, Hall of Fame. And, you know, Paul speaks in there and talks about they were sawed asunder, pulled apart, wandered about, sheepskin, goatskin, was in a desert, destitute, so forth, lives of this, that this world is not worthy of these lives. And Brother Branham said, that is a life worthy of the gospel. And then Brother Branham asked the question, he says, how is mine and yours going to stand up in the day of judgment with men like that? And you know, then I thought about all that Brother Branham suffered to be able to bring us this message that we have. You know, there was great things that he suffered. You know, you would think if God called a man, you know, why would he have the man suffer? The scripture teaches us, look, friends, we take part in the sufferings of Christ. And you know, Brother Branham, you know, a lot of people, they think, they look at Brother Branham's ministry and think, what a great ministry, you know. And there's no doubt been men, preachers, that thought, well, if they could just have a ministry, something like that. And many of them have tried. But it's all been imitation, you know. Jannies and Jambries, you know. But Brother Branham, speaking about it, there's things he says you can't tell people. He said, you know, talking about himself, said, you overwork yourself. You overtax yourself. You find out things about people you wish you didn't know. He's talking about the kind of ministry, seeing visions about people. And then people, he said, would come to him and they were desiring to know things and wanting him to see a vision for them and that. And Brother Ram says, and you find out things about people you wish you didn't know. And he said, they don't realize what that type of a ministry costs. He says, you don't know what goes with it. And then he talks about, he says, I know that I'm going to have to answer for this. And then he said, Jack Moore said to me one time, said, I'd hate to have to answer like you would have to on the day of judgment. God has put these people in your hands, and you're going to give an account for every one of them. You're going to answer for your ministry. And Brother Ram says, and see, he says, and that, that he says, that puts pressure on him. You know, it's a cost that goes with having that kind of a ministry. But look what he goes on. This is in the Message of Desperations. Look what he goes on and starts saying about, he's talking about what this type of ministry costs. But then he goes into this paragraph. It leads right into here, and he talks about what the benefits that came from the cost he paid. And he said, then seeing these signs coming, seeing the Holy Ghost take us out there and bring those seals and lay them out like that. Bring the church age and lay them in, then come down in a great big pillar of fire back there and reveal himself. Then come down on the next thing on the seven seals and reveal it. Even put it in the papers and magazines. Then come and take the angels of God and them seven angels with seven messages. Confirmed it exactly what the Bible said. Then during that time, come up and bring these seals, those signs, flashes of the end time. And it bring it up to the people and tell them what it is and all about it. And the Lord working right there showed himself present. So there was a great cost that this type of ministry had. And friends, I'm going to tell you, you know, and I don't say this to try to in any way take any other ministers and bring them up to the level of Brother Branham in any way or what we pay in the ministry like that. But I'm going to tell you, being a minister of God, it costs. And there are things, sacrifices you got to make and things that you have to suffer. Because that you're giving your life for it. It makes you wonder when you see these fellows, you know, talking about all this prosperity and stuff and these big mega churches and everything else. You see, you know, I think that Paul talked about them also in this chapter when he said, you know, they were actually messengers of Satan that were presenting themselves as ministers of God, you know. And then I think about it, and I started going back over and rereading different things today where Brother Branham said, remember when he wanted to go and preach to those Pentecostals? And he went and he told Hope. Hope said, yeah, I'm willing, let's go. And then he went and told his mother about it. And his mother, you know, was like, go do it, son. And she started talking about how that them old Baptists used to worship and be that way, you know, and all that, you know. And she was all supporting him in that. And he said, well, let's go tell your mother. And so they went to tell Hope's mother. And Hope's, you know, Hope, and I want to tell you, if you find yourself ever doing this, stop yourself and don't do it right now. Because look what she said. When he and Hope told her, said, her mother said, well, Hope, you can go, of course. That said, but I'm telling you, if you do, your mother will fill a grave with a broken heart. She was being manipulative. And she was using a guilt trip to try to manipulate what Hope was going to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't like any time I see that where people try to use guilt trips on people. You know, and I'll tell you something. They ain't never worked on me. But here she was trying to lay a guilt trip on her. Don't ever do that. And Brother Branham said, you know, he listened to her then, and because she said, why don't you just go and pay off your church and stay here and be sensible in that? And so Brother Branham told Hope, well, we just won't go right now. Hope said, we'll go anyway. And he said, no, we won't go right now. We'll go ahead. We'll stay here. We'll pay the church off and work on that and that, and then maybe on down the road then we'll do it, you know. And Brother Branham said, there it was, and here's where I made my mistake. I listened to my mother-in-law. And he says, and I didn't want to hurt her mother's feelings. And he said, and she said, don't you take her up there, that bunch of trash. And he says, and I found out what she called trash, I find to be the cream of the crop. And he said, brother, by my mistakes, we had to bury her a little while after that, talking about Hope. And he said, now I never forget, trouble started then. He said, my father took sick and died in my arms just a little bit after that. Brother Ram said, I was standing in the platform preaching. And he said, and my brother was out riding on the side of a car, 15 years old, and the man he hitchhiked with picked him up and was drinking and hit his head on the side of a post, broke his neck, and he died, and then he died, And he said, and they come and told me and said, and there, he said, I tell you, the way of a transgressor's hard. Don't pay any attention to what anybody in the world tells you. You do what God says do. And then, you know, and this is all in Brother Branham's life story. And you know how that Brother Branham here at Hope, and this all happened. You know, there was a flood that happened around that time. But Brother Branham talks about, and if you piece this together and then look at it also in history and things like that, and then piece together what the times that Brother Branham was talking about and all that, you know, that Hope, when she took sick, was actually in December of 1936. Brother Branham says she was actually going out to go buy some Christmas presents. And she actually fell over and passed out right on the street. And they found her and they rushed her, and then they called for Brother Branham and told him, you know, she's up at the hospital and so on, you know. And so then Brother Branham goes on talking about it, and then Brother Branham tells you that, you know, the flood that happened there on the Ohio River, and how that, you know, they had to move Hope around to some different places and that, because it flooded. And Brother Branham actually said, you know, that he had saw the flood in a vision before it happened, and he went and told him how high it was going to be right down there on Main Street and that, and they said, oh, get out of here. They didn't believe him, and then it happened. Well, if you look that up in history, that was January of 1937. And so then why Brother Branham, and you go through his life story, you see Brother Branham, here he is running around in the boat and everything else, trying to save people during that flood and everything. And here they've moved his wife somewhere else and that. And then Brother Branham has to go up there and find where she's at. And then, you know, he goes and she had tuberculosis is what she had come down with. And Brother Branham said, you know, he went in there, and remember, she when he went in there, she died, and he called her back, remember? And she said, why did you call me back? And then she told him, she said, I've got to hurry back. She said, but I guess you know why I'm going. And she said, and Brother Abraham said, and that's what hurt me. And he said, and she said, you should have never listened to my mother. And said, you know, you should not have listened. And said, he said, Bill, but if you'd have went ahead and done what God had told you to do, it might be different today. And then he said, that's right. She said, sweetheart, you couldn't help it. You were trying to be a good hearted. He said, I know. And she said, will you promise me something? He said, what is it? He said, I don't mean to be a baby, folks, but when I think of what I've done to Christ, the wrong that I've done. And he said, she said, promise me something. I said, what is it? Promise me that you'll preach that same Holy Ghost gospel until death set you free. Look what she was saying. And then friend, and he said to her, his friend, here she was telling him, this is why it's happening. This is why I'm dying. Because you didn't obey the Lord and you listened to my mother. And then, you know, then here she was dying. Then he finds out, said, they told him, said, your little girl's been took up to the hospital. And said, she's laying over here in another hospital, and she's dying. And he went up there, and he prayed, and he asked God, don't take her too. And he looked, and remember, Brother Bam said how her eyes had crossed. And it so tore up him up to see her that way. He said that there never was a child ever come before him with her eyes crossed, what God didn't heal him. But look what he paid. And you say, well, he paid for his mistakes. He was suffering. Christ had him suffer these things. Just like Paul, Brother Ram said, he had Paul suffering so that he could sympathize with others. That's why Brother Branham, he suffered that his little girl, her eyes crossing. After he suffered that, no child could come before him what his faith wouldn't reach out and them eyes be corrected. see the benefit that others got from his suffering. And he said, he said about his wife, he said when she was dying, said she raised up with bony hands and embraced me, and I kissed her goodbye. She closed her eyes, went out to meet God, and he said, that was my last date with my wife. You forgive me. I'm reading this stuff today. It was just tearing me up. You know, seeing, you know, what he suffered. And you know what Brother Branham said then also in the life story there? This is the one he had preached and spoke in Toledo, Ohio. He said, oh, Christian people, one of these days I know beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows where and when the wheels of mortal life will all stand still, and I'm going to make a trip to Zion's Hill, and I'll see her again, and I'll see Jesus, and I'll see my baby, I'll see my loved ones. There waits for me a glad tomorrow where gates of pearl swing open wide. When I've crossed this veil of sorrow, I will rest upon the other side. Hallelujah. I love him today with all my heart. I don't want to be a baby. Oh, God, have mercy. And he says, and this old has crossed the streets in tears and heartaches and troubles. Oh, God, I've served the Lord with all my heart. And I've tried with all my heart, dear Jesus, live you, do the thing, no matter what this cross is or how scornful it seems to me. I love you, dear Jesus. You've broken my heart over and over, but I love you for it. And he says, that what he has suffered, he said, that it caused him to cross the country, meeting lovely friends and minister of the gospel, praying and the sick and for the sick and afflicted, and see little bedridden mothers, and how I hate that demon of TB. How that broke my family to pieces. You know, and to think about all that he, all he suffered. And then, you know, Brother Branham, in the message of desperations, Brother Branham says, he said, talking about us and our suffering, he said, what are we going to amount to if we gain the whole world? What are we? What are we living for? What do we work for? What are you eating for? What are you struggling for to live? What are you living for to die? And you're not fit to live until you're fit to die. And it made me think him talking about his what he suffered and all, and then he was asking the people, what are you living for? What are you working for? You know, many times we think we're living for ourselves, we're working for ourselves. No, we should be living and working for the Lord. You know, whatever we can do to further the gospel. And friends, that burden is just not on the ministry. As the Bible's taught us, look, friends, how in the world could the ministry go when they actually took and set aside and dedicated, these men dedicated their lives just to full-time preaching the gospel? So how in the world could they go unless the people provided and sent them? And everything you do, you know, it's like I think about something my dad always said. You know, my dad, anytime he would go on a mission trip, why, you know, he would take, I don't know how much money he would take, all the money he would take with him in that. And if there was a need, he gave money out. And you know, my father-in-law could attest to this. There was times that they didn't hardly have $5 left to try to get something to eat on the way home, the flight back. Because they done gave everything they took with them away. And he, my dad would say, you know, he said, look, you can't take none of that money with you when you leave here. He said, when you leave this life, the only thing you can take with you is what you have done for Jesus. You know, Brother Ram said, for you to give your life to God, it'll cost you. It'll cost you friends. Sometimes it'll cost you family. It can cost you everything, you know. And Jesus actually says in Matthew chapter 10, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth me, and he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Hallelujah. You know what that means? I heard Brother Roel Soriano years ago one time speak on this that particular verse about receiving, who receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet receiveth prophet's reward. Look, friends, look. All that Brother Branham suffered, all that he'd done, and gave that you would have this message, he'll be rewarded for that. But this scripture means because you received him, you'll be rewarded for it too. People many times will start out. Brother Adam said they'll start out, and then you know, he said like Moses, you know, started out, and he said then, you know, he laid everything aside and went in the desert with a stick in his hand. Days and days passed. Brother Adam said, I wonder if he thought, I made a mistake. Because he gave up everything there in Egypt, and there he is an outcast. Brother Man said, I wonder if he thought I made a mistake. And Brother Man said, no, he never thought that. He said, but many times people start out and they say, oh, I'll do it. Glory to God, I see it. And let somebody laugh at him or make fun of him. And they'll say, probably I was wrong. Brother Adam said, see, they got worked up on the emotion, but that seed that I talked about a while ago, that soul, it wasn't there to start with. How many we have seen come? You know, and they put on such a good show of it, and they look sincere, and they're enthused. And boy, they just talk so enthused, you know, and that, you know, and things, and they talk about they're going to do this, I'm going to do that and that, you know. But then when it comes time to suffer, then you find they're no longer there then. And Jesus said, this is what Jesus said about it. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He says, you're going to suffer. It may cost you. It may cost you your life. It may cost you your job. It may cost you your prestige, your popularity. He says, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. And he says here in this message, he said, brother, one of these days, the last Holy Ghost anointed gospel sermon to be preached. One of these days, the last gun will fire. One of these days, the last song will be sung. One of these days, the last prayer will be prayed. When I read this, I thought about that song, you know, what are you going to do when the church is gone? And then Brother Branham goes on, he said, one of these days, the doors of tabernacle will be closed for the last time. The Bible will be closed on the pulpit. And you'll stand in the presence of God to give account for what you heard tonight. What then? What then? When the great book is open, what then? When tonight comes on record, what then? As the song says, what then? When the great book is open, what then? When the ones that's rejected the Savior today will be asked to give a reason, what then? Your job stood in the way. Your parents stood in your way. Your boyfriend stood in your way. Your girlfriend stood in your way. Your church stood in your way. What then? What then? When the great book is open, what then? When the ones that's rejecting this message tonight, you're going to have to ask to give a reason. What then? What are you going to do about it? When you know what the mark of the beast is, you know what the seal of God is, it's up to you. He says that in 54 in the message, he preached the seal of God. He said, a lot of people, they don't, because it's going to cost them anything, they don't want nothing to do with it. Because that's the reason they don't want it, because it'll cost them something. They'll have to give up something. They have to, and you think about it, the people that walk away and have walked away from the message. Think about people who've walked away from the message right here from this own church. What'd they walk away for? As Jesus said, what will you give for your soul? They walked away so they could, you know, women, so they could wear pants or cut their hair, or walked away so they could marry somebody out in the world, or walked away, you know. What did they walk away from it for? Look what they've give up. Look what they walked away from. I'm going to tell you something, friends, and this has been in my mind, and you'll hear me say it again when I get back on the other subject I was preaching, but, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You think about some rank sinner coming before God, and think about somebody who's actually has set and heard the preaching of this message coming before God. They're going to have to answer differently because they've heard. And they know. They won't be able to say, I didn't know. Just like Brother Branham said, they've heard this message. He said, you know now what the mark of the beast is. You know what the seal of God is. So you're going to have to answer. People who have sat and heard this message. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a whole lot different for people that goes over here to the church over yonder over here, or these other churches around here, denominations and all that, you know, and not have never sat under the teaching of this message, and people that have actually sat under the teaching of this message, people who actually knows that God did in fact send a prophet. And I'm going to tell you something. They can say all day long they want, oh, I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. But if they don't do what he said, think what they're going to have to answer for. I knew God sent a prophet, but God, I never did do what he said. I believe God sent a prophet, some will tell you. You look at the way they dress, look at the way they act, look at the things they do, and won't go to church. Someone said one time to me, oh, I said, I got Brother Branham's books at home on my shelf, and we've got this and that and the other. Right here from this town told me that, but won't go to church. What are they going to have to answer for? I'm not trying to be mean and bad, but I'm just saying, look, friends, you know what it is? They don't want to give things up. They don't want to actually pay what it costs. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When it comes down to a lot of these things, I don't even look at them as being a cost, because I got no desire for it. I'll tell you what, dressing holy and dressing modest and dressing with holiness to the Bible and everything, I don't actually look at that as being something that costs you. Now, you dressing that way and people making fun of you, okay, that's a cost, I guess. But Brother Ram talked about, said Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Said Elvis sold him out for a fleet of Cadillacs. And Brother Ram said, what are you selling him out for? I'll tell you, friends, I've seen people sell God out for $100 a month. Brother Branham said, people say, well, there's going to be many millionaires in hell. He says there's going to be just as many penny-aires in hell, too. Seeing people, you know, they sell out. You know why? Because the almighty dollar. They don't want to support God. They don't want to support God's work. They don't want to do what the scripture says do. You know what God said in his Bible about it? He didn't say he was going to ask them, you know, how come that you didn't give? He's going to say, why did you rob me? Yeah. Look, I don't say any of these things because, look, friends, I really, you know, whatever people want to do, that's up to them. I don't know what y'all give. I don't ever look at it. But I know this. I know that whatever we give to the Lord and the work of the Lord, he'll pay you back many times over. Some people, you know, these ones that preach this prosperity gospel, and that they always talk about sowing seeds, talking about giving money is what they're talking about. And what their promise is, these preachers are promising, if you'll give this amount of money, God will give you this amount of money back. I'm going to tell you what, friends, God's got so much more to give to you than the U.S. dollar. And what he's got to give to us is worth so much more than all the money of the world. If you had all the money from every country, from every place, every last cent from every country all over the world, you still couldn't purchase eternal life. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. You know how much eternal life cost you? Nothing, because it's already paid for. Jesus paid for it. All you got to do is surrender. Brother Adam said, God, he said, I think about it sometimes, how we have maybe have hindered the Lord. He said, because God is actually looking for people that will actually totally surrender everything to him so that he can use them. Give up everything. Think about the rich young ruler that come to Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus told him, you know, to love, you know, and to keep the commandments and things like that. And he said, well, I've done all this. Jesus said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. He went away because he just couldn't do that. He went away sad, grieved. Jesus was actually grieved over it, that the young man chose to keep his riches. Think about it, friends. The riches he has, look, he's gone. He's in hell today. He's in the regions of the lost, I should say. Remember when we talked about those that die and go to the regions of the lost and things like that? They got nobody to go to. They're in a nightmare. That rich young ruler, he's in a nightmare tonight. And he's been there for centuries. And all the wealth he had, it's gone. It all perished. Now his life has perished. Think what he'd have had if he'd have just gave all that up. But he couldn't pay the cost. Brother Branham said, I have suffered much, and I know what it is to be sick. And he said, I want to help you, and I can if you'll just believe. He says that in the midst of faith is a substance. Why I'm against organized religion, he says, I've suffered much in my own body. Jesus bore in his body suffering, that he might be the right kind of mediator, because him being God made flesh so he could suffer, so he could feel the pains of infirmity. That's why he come to make an atonement. He said, if you're sick tonight, this is in All Things, the message of All Things 62. If you're sick tonight, the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. I've suffered with sickness. I'm your fellow citizen. I'm your brother. And I know what it means to be sick. And I know a place to go that hidden place of faith can touch his garment and say, Lord, sincerely I come now. Sincerely, Lord, you know my heart. You told me I could touch you. You are my high priest. I'm going to touch you. Let me just have a touch, Lord. And something anchors back there and says, I got it. What's Brother Adam saying? He said, look, I know what it's like to be sick. Brother Branham said, if you want your prayers to be successful when you're praying for somebody, he said, put yourself in their shoes. Remember, Brother Branham said, somebody would walk up on a platform, didn't have any shoes, and Brother Branham would go over and he'd put his foot over beside theirs to see if it'd be about the same size. He'd have took off his shoes and gave it to him. He'd have took off his jacket and gave it to him. But the man's feet wasn't the same size. Brother Bob said he couldn't have given him his shoes. But he prayed for him and the man got healed. Put yourself. Brother Bob said, when I'm up here praying, he said, you be thinking, what if that was my mother? What if that was my Father, what if that was my child? He says, and you think that and you be praying back there. I'll tell you what, sometimes God lets us go through things and suffer things that we can be a help to others. I'm not just talking about us preachers. I'm talking about all of us as the body of Christ. You go through things and you suffer things, and I'll tell you something, friends, it allows you to have compassion for others. When you know, if you've known what it was like to actually not have two dimes to rub together, then you can feel for somebody else when they're having it hard. It allows you to be able to pray for people. Brother Benham says in this message, I'm going to close here in just a few moments. He says in this message, he said, talking about when he was going through having all that stomach issues he was having. And he went to the Mayo Brothers and different places and trying to find out what was going on with his stomach. And he said it would get sour. And he said, and I'd walk around the house in just a hot, greasy water like flying out of my mouth. And he said, while he was suffering this from his stomach and that, he said, I'd walk up to the pulpit and pray for people that was twice that bad, and they'd get healed. And he says, and I'd lay my hands on a man with cancer on his face, and the cancer left his face standing there. And I was so sick, I couldn't hardly stand up. I'll tell you something, friends. I can remember when I was really going through my mental battles, the devil afflicted me. And I preached a service one time up in Ohio. And I didn't preach very long at all. I think I might have only preached maybe about 45 minutes or something like that. But then we had prayer service, and the prayer service went on for a long time after that. But there was somebody that came up for prayer that they were suffering from these mental issues, you know, depression and anxiety and all these things. All they came up, and the things they were telling me is all the stuff I was suffering from. And the doctor was giving them medicine and everything, and they didn't want to take it and all, you know, and they came up and asked me for prayer. And I prayed for this person, friends. And they later gave a testimony, God instantly healed them. And I left out of that service, came back home, and I still suffered for several years after that. I'll tell you what, during that time also, I went over to the Philippines. There was a girl over there that was suffering really bad mental oppression, and you know, a spirit was telling her to take her own life because she was just so suffering from this mentally and that. And she asked, we had questions and answers. It was in a youth meeting. We had questions and answers, and they were asking a question about this. And so my brother, he looked at me because he knew what I'd been suffering, and he looked at me if I could answer him. And so I talked to him and that, and then I don't know, remember what all I said at that point, and then I think I said some things when I preached, and then, you know, those youth meetings ended, and after those youth meetings ended, that Sunday, then I was taken out to go preach at a little church. It was out in some village somewhere, and I went out there and preached to that church. And that young lady that had been in those youth meetings, she got up. That was her church. And she got up and she gave a testimony. And she said, God spoke through that man. And he told me what to do. And God healed me. Brother Branham said here in the message of On the Wings of a Snow White Dove, he said, I've suffered mental oppression. Every 7 years it'll come. All my life. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful God healed me. And he restored me. I tell you, friends, I went through a time here, you know, I knew I needed to preach. And I was pushing myself. And I felt like I couldn't get no inspiration. And I felt like, sometimes I felt like I was just going through the motions. But then, after some time, something broke. And I began to feel more like my old self again. Brother Bram says this. This is a message on the wings of a snow white dove. And I thought of you, Brother Jim, because of what he said here. He said, I've been thinking as Ernie sang that song a few minutes ago, On the Wings of a Dove. And I understand Ernie made two verses of that. I'm going to make you three verses. And he says, And he asked Ernie to help him start to sing it. And then as they started singing it, Brother Bram said, Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his sign on the wings of a dove. That's the first verse Brother Branham gave. Then here's the second one. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though he rejected, but not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove. And then here's the last verse. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing both night and day. But faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me a sign on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered, he said. It was his third verse he added. Friends, he suffered. But look what the benefit from it was. We know he's done went on now. He's not suffering anymore. Because he did what God sent him here to do. He fulfilled that commission. He delivered this message to the people. He introduced Jesus Christ again to the people. God spoke through him, and all those mysteries that have been sealed up has been opened. Now, it's our time. That song says, this is our time. It's the end time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we willing to give? We give our lives. Give anything God asks of us. Anything he requires. Anything we can do. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful to God for the things I see in y'all's lives and how you've grown in the Lord. That's so wonderful to me. What all God's done for you. I'm so thankful. I'm just glad I could be here with you. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, dear God. Lord, how we see men of God suffered. Peter suffered, Lord. Peter, Lord, they took and crucified him, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Hang me upside down. How John the Divine suffered. Paul gave his life. Think about the men down through history, the men of God that suffered, Lord. Polycarp, Martin, Luther, the different ones, oh God, all of them that suffered for you, Lord. But there's some suffering left for us. Lord, and it's not this put on stuff, dear God. It's not like some religions teach, Lord, they go down and they take whips and whip them own selves so they can take part in the sufferings of Christ. That ain't nothing. That's not really suffering for Christ. Lord, sometimes our stand, Lord, it causes us to be abandoned. It causes us to lose friends, associates, people we thought was our friends. People would come in and, Lord, they present themselves to be our friends, and they speak so highly of us at times, God. But then, Lord, when it comes time to be corrected or line up with the word, they just can't take it. Then they're no longer your friend. Then they speak evil of you. But God, you said, blessed are ye when men speak evil of you. For so did they, the prophets. They've spoke evil and many have suffered. Lord, if we suffer, it just means we're in great company. Lord, it's sometimes broke up families. Sometimes, God, we've had our children leave us. Lord, no matter what, we're willing to forsake all and follow you. Like the song says, if they don't go, it won't hinder me. Just because others turn aside, I'm not turning aside. God, what awaits us at the end of this life? It's worth more than anything that we have suffered. Lord, to live forever. To be free of this body of pain and suffering and sickness. And to be free of this flesh, dear God, that we have to fight with ourselves, God. To be free of it one day. To never grow old, never be sick, and to be forever with the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I think when you were here and walked on this earth, how that it so
tore the hearts of your disciples when you left here, dear God, when they were there and you were crucified on the cross. They died. You died and they laid you in the tomb. How it tore them up, Lord, to be separated from you. But then, Lord, when you rose again on the third day and revealed yourself to them, Lord, and you showed them and told them, I'm going away to prepare a place that where I am there you may be also. They knew they had a promise that one day they were going to be united again with you, God, never to separate from your company again. Lord, that's what we look forward to. We lose loved ones in this life, dear God, that go by the way of the grave and that, Lord. But God, there's coming a resurrection, and we'll be united with them again and never be separated again. Oh, God, it's worth it all. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people tonight in Jesus' name.